Merciful Father, in your great love, you sent us your Son, Jesus, to take away our sin and clothe us in righteousness. Help us to hear his word and to trust always in your goodness and mercy. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, did you happen to notice a theme in our scripture readings this morning? No? Anyone? Yeah. Yes? Someone noticed. Someone who read. Thank you. Very good. Well, I'll give you a hint. We heard it 9 times, once in each verse of the psalm. Any ideas? It's also mercy. There you go. I was going to give you another hint. It's also in the sermon title. That's right. We heard, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever." In our reading from Genesis, we hear that word mercy too. We remember God's mercy after the great flood. Mankind had become completely wicked and ungodly except for Noah. So God had Noah build the ark and kept them safely inside his family and 2 of every kind of animal on the earth. All but those in the ark perished in the waters of the flood. You may ask, where is the mercy in that? But when the evil had been cleansed from the earth, God caused the waters to recede. He brought the ark to rest again on solid ground and made a covenant with Noah and all his descendants to follow. In his mercy, God promised that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. Every time he sets a rainbow in the sky, God remembers his promise to us. And with thankfulness for this promise, we remember God's mercy. This is the mercy of which the psalmist writes. He gives thanks to the Lord of heaven and earth for the wonder of his creation, all that God has made and sustains, the earth, the waters, the sun, the moon, the stars, everything we need as human beings to live and to thrive, our good Lord has provided and continues to provide. The many blessings that God bestows flow from his abundant grace and love for humanity, even though we are sinners. We do nothing to deserve God's favor, and yet he lavishes it upon us, supporting and sustaining us throughout our lives with all that we truly need. In every gift he gives, no matter how simple or how small, we remember that the same God who set the stars in the sky set our feet on this earth, and that he always loves and cares for us. With thankfulness for his provision, we remember God's mercy. In his letter to the Ephesians, Paul expresses his thanks for God's gift of faith. Through the power of the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus Christ, in the waters of baptism, God cleanses his people from sin, raises us to new life, and bestows within us the gift of faith. So that, as Paul writes, Christ may dwell in your hearts, that being rooted and grounded in love, you may have the strength to comprehend what is the breadth and length and height and depth of God's love, to know his love in Christ, the love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. God wants all people to know his love and his grace. He wants us to be filled with his fullness and have Christ dwell within us at all times. God is not satisfied to leave us in sin, and so he gives us this means of grace, the sacraments of holy baptism and of holy communion. Baptism to clean us, to cleanse us from original sin, That sin that we inherit from Adam and Eve as a condition of being human. And communion he gives us to cleanse us from the sin that we get into on our own. With thankfulness for the gift of faith in Christ. The gift that welcomes God's mercy and forgiveness, we remember. And then there's Jesus himself. The physical embodiment of God's enduring mercy. The consummation of divine grace and love. In the gospel text today, Jesus shows us his great mercy. Immediately after feeding the 5,000, Jesus has compassion on his disciples. Remember, they are exhausted. Now their bellies are full from the loaves and fish. But they desperately need rest. Jesus provides. He stays behind on the shore to dismiss the crowds and makes the disciples. He makes them. Wouldn't it be great for someone to make you rest? He makes the disciples get into the boat and go away by themselves. Meanwhile, Jesus goes up on the mountain to pray. But even then, he is not unaware of his disciples' needs. Jesus sees them in the boat, struggling against the wind. They're trying to get across the lake to Bethsaida, the other side of the sea. But instead, they're getting nowhere fast. You ever have one of those days when you're spinning your wheels and feel like you're not getting anywhere? They were having that kind of evening. They were making headway painfully, as St. Mark says, for the wind was against them. And so Jesus comes to their aid, though not immediately. That's Mark's favorite word, I like to say. He uses immediately so many times, but this is not an occasion for an immediate response. It was not until about the fourth watch of the night that being around 3 a.m. or so, Jesus finally comes to the help of his disciples. All evening, Jesus allows the disciples to struggle, to wrestle and try to tame for themselves the wind and the waves. Jesus sees them struggle. He is merciful. And yet he doesn't rush immediately to assist his disciples. Those two things may seem like they don't fit together, to be merciful and yet to wait and watch someone struggle. But when he finally comes to them walking on the sea, Jesus has every intention of passing them by. He's going to let them continue to struggle a little longer. Perhaps there's mercy in that. Perhaps in order to learn and grow in faith, they must contend a while to be strengthened by opposition and adversity. You know, that's how we build muscles. If you lift weights, you ever lifted weights? See the bodybuilders that lift weights? You build muscle by using them beyond their existing ability. You create small tears in the muscles, and the muscles fill in with more muscles, muscle fibers, and you get stronger and stronger. Into the tears, the muscles grow. They get bigger, we get stronger. It's the same with a butterfly. Before a butterfly can emerge out of its chrysalis, it has to go through a lot of struggling to get out. Each time it lunges out to try to escape the chrysalis, acids are removed from its wings, and it grows a little stronger. If someone were to come along and cut that chrysalis open and prevent the struggle, then the butterfly would simply be too weak to fly, and it would soon die. The disciples are obviously in no imminent danger. This is no storm that threatens to capsize them. They're simply pushing against this wind. They're going against this adversity. And so Jesus, in his great mercy, allows them to struggle so that they may be strengthened. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost, and they cried out in terror. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." In his mercy, Jesus allows the disciples to struggle, to get stronger, to be strengthened in faith. But the instant that they are overcome with fear, he immediately comes to their aid. Jesus is merciful. He allows them to struggle, but he does not allow them to lose heart. Jesus comes to them with words of comfort and reassurance to calm their anxious fears. Then he gets into the boat with them and causes the wind to cease. Jesus' words give comfort. His presence gives peace to the first disciples and to us today. God is merciful and good. He shows us his mercy in so many ways, in his promises, his creation, the gift of faith, and most especially in Jesus, his dear Son. As his disciples, we are covered by his mercy at all times. No matter what evil surrounds us, no matter what needs we face, no matter how small our faith, no matter what storms we struggle through, God is always merciful. No matter what, we are bathed in the grace and forgiveness of a Savior who loves us so much that he gave up his life for us. A Savior who loves us enough to let us struggle to grow stronger in our faith. A Savior who gives us his word to speak comfort to us when our hearts grow anxious and afraid. A Savior who is always beside us, all-powerful and always present in our times of need. This is the mercy of God, the mercy shown us by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this is the mercy he calls us to share with the world, a world in which mercy seems to have fallen out of favor. Mercy has become to many synonymous with weakness and passivity. Much like compassion, grace, and forgiveness, outside the context of the church, mercy is often a foreign concept. Brothers and sisters, this ought not be so. Though the world is heavy and dark with sin, as the church, as the people of God in this place and this time, we are the guardians of God's mercy. In Christ, there is grace and forgiveness, love and mercy, and he shows us his mercy so that we can share that mercy with others. It is up to us, as the church, to shine the light of the gospel in this world, to love one another, to forgive one another. Always we struggle against the ways of the world, yet we grow stronger in faith, trusting more fully in Christ and in his mercy. By this, by sharing the mercy that God has first given us, by this we give our thanks to the Lord. For he is good, and indeed his mercy endures forever. Amen.